two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
A woman came forward to say, look, I saw this couple, Brian and Gabby, at the Mary Piglet's Cafe, the Mexican food restaurant in Jackson Hole, and he was just going at the staff, and it was super uncomfortable.
At one point, she walked back in to follow him and was trying to, I think, get him to leave and, like, drop the situation.
Gabby was trying to make things better.
The restaurant staff for his behavior, like,
Gabby's trying to make things better by apologizing to the restaurant staff. So the question that Dave and I are asking right now is, do we have it in us to report this type of behavior to police in that moment?
I never have. I've never seen a full-on freak out at a restaurant, but I have seen some fights on the side of the road, and I did think to myself, should I call somebody? Should I call the police? It was late at night. This couple was really going after each other, and I didn't make the phone call. I probably should have.
You think?
Looking back on it, it was enough of a fight, and I pulled over, and I actually got out, and I yelled across the street. I'm like, hey, is everything all right over there?
Did you?
Uh-huh.
What were you thinking in that moment? Could this go south for me?
Or yes.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought, do I really want to get in the middle of this? Because sometimes these things can turn ugly, but I would feel terrible if something happened. So I was just kind of struggling with this. And again, I'm driving, 15 miles an hour. I was driving very slowly, but I had this decision to make kind of spur of the moment. So I just kind of pulled over and I took a second to think about it. Should I call? And I didn't. I did shout out, and I think it took him by surprise. Because it was so late at night, it was probably 1 o'clock in the morning. Nobody else was around. They probably thought they were just, able to have this fight to themselves.
This woman that saw this go down at this restaurant in Jackson Hole, she's said she's talking to police now. And so are, staff at the restaurant. We do know that 911 caller in Moab called police right away.
What were they doing?
We drove by and the gentleman was slapping the girl.
He was slapping her?
Yes, and then we stopped. They ran up and down the sidewalk. He proceeded to hit her, hopped in the car, and they drove off.
Yeah, he made that call. He made that call in the moment. You can tell it's within seconds of seeing this
right.
go down. And then yet there's another witness in Moab who sees a different perspective, and he goes into the police department, fills out a handwritten statement about what he sees, and he saw Gabby, punching Brian. But this just got me thinking, do I have it in me to report it right away? I don't think the woman at the restaurant reported it right away. She's taken to social media. She made a post about it. She's talked to WABC News back in New York about it. Would I get up from the restaurant and call 911?
I don't know why I didn't think about this. This just popped in my head. I don't know why I forgot about this, but I actually did make a phone call one time. I like to jump on Front Runner, and I take the train to and from work every once in a while. And I was coming home again late at night, and I looked down, and I saw a woman that was trying to climb onto the train tracks, climb over a chain link fence and get on the train tracks. And I'm yelling at her, hey, stop. And I call police, And I said, there's this woman, she's trying to climb onto the track. So I ran down and I grabbed her and I said, you know, what's going on? She was clearly drunk.
Oh.
And she was trying to get to her boyfriend and they were having a fight. And the boyfriend comes over and he's like, fine. I got her. Go ahead. You can leave. He was trying to dismiss me. And I said, well, hang on, man.
Oh, you didn't feel good about that.
I didn't feel good about leaving her.
All right. That's fine. I'll go home now.
No. I'm like, she was trying to climb onto the train tracks here and you weren't stopping her. I'm not feeling great about the decisions you're making right now. So I waited until police came. And as soon as police arrived, I left. But I remember asking the girl this. I said, do you feel safe with him? And she said, no. I mean, yes. And
ooh.
And again, she was very, very drunk. I don't know if she was confused by my question, but anyway, the answer was bad enough that I said, well, I'm going to hang out until police arrive. And we waited for, 5 minutes. It wasn't very long. Police arrived and I just kind of left once the police were there. But I'm so glad I made that phone call. And I don't know why that didn't pop into my head, but I do. To this day, I feel good that I took the time. I got in the way. You know, I didn't just let him brush me off and dismiss me like he was initially trying to.
We talked to Jen Oxborough, who's a licensed clinical social worker, on the show on Monday when that 911 call came into, or earlier this week, maybe it was Tuesday, came into the station from Moab. And she said, get involved. I mean, get involved to the point where you
make that phone call.
Make that phone call.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously things can go even further south. And don't be afraid to get involved. I think so often we are hesitant to get involved. We want to welcome Ty, who's our new board operator, to the D2 family. Hi, Ty.
How's it going?
It's good to have you. And you got in my ear when Dave was telling that story. And you said, I've got a story I want to share.
So I was delivering pizzas at the time. I was driving around here in Salt Lake and over here on North Temple. I was driving around. It was late at night, 10 o'clock. I see like a little girl walking. And this was back before they kind of moved all the homeless people out of the way. And so I knew that wasn't a good situation. She looked lost. I was hesitant. I was actually on the phone with my girlfriend. I was like, should I call the cops? She's like, yes, do it. And so it took me a little bit. It was a little nerve-wracking at first, but I made the call. It was the right thing. She was clearly lost. She was about to go into a not-so-safe area. So it was one of those things where it was the right decision, but I was very hesitant at first. And it was an obvious situation. She was very young. She was only like 5 or 6 years old, and it was scary a little bit.
Did you feel like you didn't want to get involved?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I mean, it's just one of those things where I think it was kind of that. Didn't want to exactly jump in right away. Didn't want to make the wrong assumption. But at the end, it was the right decision to call in, and because she didn't know where she was. She couldn't really. So police officers came. I gave my name and stuff, and they tried to find her home. She didn't really have much of a home address or anything, but it was just an intimidating situation. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but in the heat of the moment, it was a little scary.
I think it's interesting as you were telling that story, and this is totally where my mind would go. You were asking your girlfriend, you were looking for affirmation. Hey, should I do this? It's almost like we need permission to do this, to make that phone call. You know, we want someone to say, yeah, you're not being crazy. You're doing the right thing. And that's not always the case. We don't always have that person we can bounce ideas off to. And I think this is the good rule of thumb. Better safe than sorry. You know, what are the cops doing? That's their job.
Ty, thanks for sharing that story. But let me ask you this, Dave. What if it's your neighbors? What if you live next door to the chaos and you know that if you call police, they're
going
to know exactly who called police because, you know, you're outside hearing them fighting at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
What do you do?
That changes.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Do you stay out of it?
Yes. Again, more out of convenience, maybe out of awkwardness. I'm not saying it's the right thing, but I can tell you if I see my neighbors, someone I know, and they're acting out or they're, you know, in a fight, because I know them, maybe I like them, maybe I love them, maybe I hate them, whatever it is different when you know the person because you don't want to create that, you know, terrible relationship and you don't want to bring on the fury down on yourself. But again, that's not the right thing to do, I'm sure. But I'm just thinking, yeah, would I make that phone call on my neighbor? Probably not. How about you?
Yeah, I have.
You've made the phone call.
Twice in different neighborhoods.
Have you not made the phone call?
Yeah, I have not made the phone call. Multiple times. You know, and it's a tough call because I would feel so guilty if something happened.
Yeah.
It was something is happening, but something worse happened. But I have had that sense of, I don't want to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's their problem. I wish they could work it out. I've wanted to talk to people about it before when I hear people yelling at each other even and approach them about it, but I'm nervous to get involved.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what this woman was thinking when she's sitting across from Gabby Petito and Brian Laundry at that restaurant in Wyoming, and she sees Brian, just seems like he's just losing his mind.
It was like a dog with a bone. He wouldn't drop it. Whatever it was, he was pissed off and he would not let it go.
But his anger seemed to be focused on the staff, and she wasn't exactly sure what triggered that moment. She couldn't hear what caused him to go into the spiral and keep going out of the restaurant and into the restaurant and out of the restaurant. Instead, at one point, he left for 10 minutes and then came back. It's a great conversation. Do you have it in you to report it to police? I think it's something to continue to think about. Straight ahead. You know, Brian's family, according to neighbors, did something very odd after Brian came home with Gabby's van on September 1st. They did something extremely odd. They made a purchase. I was really shocked to find out about this. We're going to go in depth. When we ask the question straight ahead, where is Brian and why did his parents do this after he came home without Gabby?
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.